Welcome to Healing Scars with Pastor Burton, the official podcast of Cross Christian Fellowship, Route 66, in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Burton is the lead pastor. We're glad you're here.
Father, we thank you for this time together in fellowship. We thank you for this time in your word. Please open us up to what you have to speak to us and how to apply it to our lives as we leave from here today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, of course, it is a new year. Happy New Year, everybody. Last week, of course, most of you know, I had a broken tooth I was dealing with, so I got that fixed. And then right after that, Tess and I went out of town. So Reverend Mark Tross was here filling in the pulpit. Was he not awesome? I was watching online. I love Mark. We went through the Shepherd School together. He's been in ministry, though, about as long as I've been alive. For him, it was just another school to go through to keep learning, keep improving. But he is awesome. I was very appreciative. I reached out to him again to thank him for coming and filling in, especially on short notice. He had no problem doing that. That's exciting times. Sometimes it's good to have things like that, little something to change things up, right? That's kind of what we're looking at with the new year. The new year, a lot of people, they go out there like, oh, it's a new year, new me. And I say hogwash, and I usually have a message that goes along with that, because New Year's resolutions are typically the first lie of the year that most people break, right? I say, hey, set yourself a goal and keep that goal until you reach it. Don't worry about resolutions, because a lie is a lie, and a lie is sin. That's right. This year, I'm going to go in a different direction, though. I'm not going to talk about that. That's all I'm going to talk about it on that one. Instead, we're going to take a look at what it is to be a new creation, what that means. Now, I did condense this a little bit because, well, let's face it, I can already get long-winded. I'm a pastor, and you don't have to agree so quick, Albert. Stop it. It's what we do, right? We come out of the pulpit, and we'd be as quiet as can be. When we come up here, and it's time to speak about the word and teach, and, well, we just kind of vomit at the mouth. I'll admit it. So I did condense this a bit. Hopefully I didn't condense it too much. If I did, if there's anything afterwards, please let me know. But let's go ahead and let's open our Bibles or Bible app, whatever it is that you use, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And the word says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's a good starting point for us, right? When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you profess him as the Lord and Savior, the King of Kings, the person who is the master of your life and who you are in your path, guess what? You become a new creation. The old is gone. Now, I'm not saying things change overnight for you. No, that would just be ridiculous, right? Some things might, but it takes time. But you do become a new creation when you become a follower of Jesus Christ. And what in churchianese is what we call when you become a believer, right? We have to be careful with the lingo. But in other words, what it means is you pledge your faith, also known as trust, to Jesus Christ, right? Trust is another word, another way of saying faith. Most of the time, you can use it pretty interchangeably, right? Sometimes people like to make it sound like it's this magical, mystical thing. It's not. It's not. Because it comes from relationship. And the stronger your relationship is and the bigger you build it up, the more trust you have, ergo, the more faith you have, right? So you become a new person on the inside. You're not reformed. You're not rehabilitated. You're not re-educated. That's the stuff that people try to say, the mystical. Unfortunately, that's why we lose people in the church, right? Because they buy into it. It's kind of like a prosperity gospel, right? It's like you come and you be a believer and that injury is going to be miraculously healed just like that. You're not going to have that pain anymore. That you're not going to need that surgery anymore. You're not going to need that medication anymore. That's nonsense. That's not how it works. As much as we wish it would, that's not the way it works. Like I said, you are changed. You're not the same person anymore. You're no longer a person of the world. You're not the person you used to be. You're now a person in Christ. Christ who is in you now, right? Fills you with the Holy Spirit. So what happens is you start to look at the world differently. You think about things differently. You speak about things differently. You understand things differently. You see things through a new lens. You see things through the lens of Christ instead of the lens of the world. You see things through a lens of hope and not a lens of despair. That's a big one, especially in the world that we live in, right? So when each of us becomes a new person, as Paul was speaking about, there's much more to it than just that. You're not just changed from within. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're held under a new covenant. Covenant meaning promise, right? Contract, if you will. And it changes because you're no longer a citizen of the world. You're now an adopted child into the kingdom. We turn to Philippians 3, verse 20. It's a firm reminder. Philippians 3:20, the word says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, you're not under the same contract as the rest of the world, the same covenant as the rest of the world. You're part of a new community, a new family." And that's what it's supposed to be, is a new family. Not just friends, but family. With all that entails, the ups and the downs. Do we always get along with family? No. Do we always agree 100% with family? Sometimes they're right and we're wrong though, huh? But other times it's very joyful, it's very peaceful. Sometimes things happen, someone gets sick, someone gets hurt, and we worry, right? That's family. That's a good thing. You no longer look to experience the superficial changes of the world. Those superficial things that fade away. Yeah, they might be tempting. Oh, you know what? That's cool. That's an awesome car. I'd love to have a car like that. But you know what? It's not as enticing as your relationship with Jesus and what you can do to serve the kingdom. Those superficial things that all just fade and disappear. Instead, we see things through a new perspective that puts Jesus Christ front and center in our lives. We want to do the things, we're not compelled to, we want to do the things that he's asked us to, go the directions that he's directed us to go. I could tell you years ago, if you told me I'd have been up here in this pulpit, I would have told you, you're out of your mind. I'd have told you, take a Jesus squad and pound sand. Change. Things change for the better. You see things differently. You see people differently. However, when this happens, there are a few things that need to occur in order for all this to take place. Let's turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. So Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, the word says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." We have to let go of the past. Plain and simple. We have to let go of the past. This is one of the hardest things that has to change. One of the hardest things that has to occur because we want to cling to it. There's a security that's there. And that's why we cling to it. Because it is a known factor. We know what happened. We know how it impacted us. So we reach out and we cling to it. But here's the thing. Not everybody might get this reference. I understand that. But none of us is Al Bundy. None of us gets to relive those four touchdowns in a single high school game of football, right? Silly enough. But that's what we do. We cling to the past. We want to hold on. We want to relive the glory days. We all know those people who relive the glory days constantly. I got a friend. I talk to him every so often. I've known him since middle school. We called it junior high. I know not everybody here has a junior high. Some of y'all in middle school for like 50 years here. I don't know. But that dude still clings to the past. He still collects toys. He still talks about wrestling. He still talks about the stuff that was on TV 30 stinking years ago. 30 years ago. Who in here wants to pick up the phone and talk about the Smurfs? I don't. I might give you 5 minutes talking about dressing up like Elf for Halloween, but, you know, that's as far as it's going to go. You know, maybe the rabbit costume that my mom made for me when I was knee-high to a turtle, and no, it wasn't pink like A Christmas Story, it was blue. But still, that's the stuff people cling to, right? They hold on to it. Instead, the past, we need to learn what it was there for. We had the past there for a reason. Things happen for a reason. We came through things the way we did for a reason. There are things there that we need to learn from. And it's not just, hey, what was it? It's what needs to happen in my life now. We learn from it. We apply those lessons to our life. And we move forward. We move forward. Unfortunately, this is also one of the problems that we deal with when it comes to PTSD. I can speak to that from my own experience. Because the mind doesn't want to let go. And the slightest thing takes you back to a time and place that you don't want to be. And it's just as real as if you were there, you're there at that moment, even though you know you're not. It's a crossed wire and it's hard. It's like, okay, there's still something here I need to learn from. What do I need to learn from? Unfortunately, a lot of people don't learn from it. They turn to drugs, they turn to alcohol, they turn to all these other things. Try to avoid it. Avoidance isn't an answer. Avoidance is not a cure. At some point, you are still going to have to deal with it, or it will deal with you. Plain and simple. You have to move ahead. We don't get to dwell on days long gone. Those days will not come again. They are not supposed to. Instead, we should be looking to a future of hope with God. A future that we should eagerly be looking forward to and be running towards. Away from the darkness and into the light. So things happen in our lives. There's changes that we have to make. God's put them in front of us. Don't hesitate. Make the change. The word explains this clearly in Matthew 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, verse 24. The word says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. Now, of course, this right here, when you look at the full context of the passage, it's talking about treasures in life, right? The things that you hold dear, those things that you know, could potentially become your idols. Well, the same thing applies here, though. Because basically what it's saying is you have to choose Jesus, you have to choose God, or you have to choose the world. You don't get one and the other, right? It's where people like to say you don't get to have your cake and eat it too. Well, my birthday's coming up. I'm going to have my cake and I'm going to eat it. Either way, you have to make a choice, though. You have to look towards the kingdom of God or the world. You can't serve both. You serve the world, you're going to be missing out on heaven. Because you turned your back on it, you're going to be marching straight into hell. You serve the kingdom, and the world's going to reject you. It's going to attack you with everything it has. That's just the way it works. In other words, you look at what it's saying here, and you look at the context when it's talking about your treasures, right? You have to choose. Because everything is tied to one of two masters, right? God of this world, God. Jesus Christ or Satan. Those are the choices. Because when we look to the world and everything that's connected in it and all that stuff that we want to hold on to, we have to let go. Why is it important that we let go? What's it all connected to? At some point down the line, it's connected to sin because it comes to our own selfish wants. Plain and simple. We have to grow up. We can't keep living like children. In other words, we have to put childish things away. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 10 through 12. The word says, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. You were part of the world, you spoke as the world. You looked at things as the world. You understood things as the world does. You thought of things as the world does. You did all this stuff the way the world says to do it. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you put that world behind you. You put those ways behind you. You stopped looking at it through that lens, through that worldly lens. You started looking at it through a Christ-like lens. A lot different. It's a bit like the saying, you can't go home again. Because you can't. Once you know the truth, once you know the word, try and try as you might. You can try, you can turn your back on Jesus, you can go back to the world, but it's still never going to be the same. Because once you know the truth and you know what the lie is, you can never look at it the same as you did before. You can never live in it the way you did before. It won't happen. It can't happen. You are changed forever. It's never going to be the same. Your eyes have been opened. People like to take that and look at it politically. Ooh, the woke movement and all that. No. Because both sides are still looking at it through a worldly lens for the most part. It's not about the donkey. It's not about the elephant. It's about the lamb. And its sacrifice for you and for me. Following Jesus, you're not just changed. You're born again. You're born again. We turn to John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus said this. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Here, Jesus was having a conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very devout Pharisee, right? He knew what he'd been taught. He knew what had been said in the synagogues for years and years. He knew what the scripture said. He knew the way it had been twisted and had been passed on from generation to generation. And Jesus is here and explaining to him that in order to spend eternity with the Father, you have to be born again. He's like, well, what do you mean, born again? It's like, I've already been born. How am I going to go back in the womb and come back out? Right? But he already had a pretty good idea. He understood he's trying to understand what Jesus is saying. He's been taught something much different. Jesus is opening his eyes and his mind. Because Nicodemus, he knew from scripture that the kingdom of God was coming. He knew it was going to be restored on earth. He knew the meaning behind it all. It wasn't just one group. It wasn't just going to be the Jews. It wasn't going to be the Gentiles. It wasn't going to be just the country of Israel. It was going to be the entire world. The entire world is going to be changed. And it was going to, once it was rebuilt, it was going to incorporate God's people, right? The believers, the followers of Jesus Christ, God's people. Not just these people who are over here doing things, trying to earn their way. You don't earn your way. When you do things under compulsion because you're told you have to do this, and that's why you do it, it means nothing to God. Nothing at all. You have to do things because you want to, because in your heart it's saying, hey, you need to go do this, and so you do it. It is an act of love. And that love comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ, not religion. Religion says you do things, you earn your way. Relationship says you do things because you want to, not because you have to. And Jesus only requires a little a repentance of sin and a spiritual rebirth. That's it. Repentance of your past and repentance of the world and the world in your life and acceptance of Him as your Lord and Savior. And then it becomes really easy to see that the change that God's making in the world already happening. It's already happening because it starts in here. It starts in the heart of every single follower. Heart of you and the heart of me. So you have to let Him become the master of your life. That's what Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus. It's also similar to what He was explaining to the woman at the well, right? This is also talked about in John 4, verses 13 through 14. John 4, verses 13 through 14, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." We have holes in our hearts. We have these big gaping pits in our spirit. And when we try to fill them on our own, we fail time and time again. Every time we try to fill them with the things of the world, and that's why we fail. We fill them with things like gambling, porn, sexual relationships, right? Drugs, alcohol, gambling. The list goes on and on. Cars and houses, you know, status, wealth. Right? That whole thing, you know, he with the most toys dies. Well, guess what? He with the most toys still just dies, period. You don't win nothing. You ain't taking any of it with you. None of it. You can sit there and you can focus on building all that treasure up here. And guess what? You're going to miss out on the treasure that's there because you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it if that's what you're focused on. We never find that truly lasting happiness because we're trying to fill this void with the world. And there's a reason why it never gets filled up. Because there's only one thing that can fill that void, and that is the Holy Spirit. That void is in you because that is the home of the Holy Spirit, right? The Word tells us that we are the temple. You think back to it, all the way back to before Jesus was crucified, what happened? They had the temple, right? They had the veil. That was the place, that was the holiest of places, right? That's where the Lord resided. There was still a separation between Him and man. Jesus came, Jesus died for you and died for me. The veil was torn, not from bottom to top like man did it, but from the top to the bottom, something that no man could do. And it brought us back into relationship with God. It gave us access to God. And when Jesus died, He said He was going to send the Holy Spirit. Why? Jesus was a man. He could only be so many places at one time, right? Because He was a physical man like you and I are. So instead, He sent the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit could be everywhere. And the place for Him to reside is in His temple, which is in us. We never think of it that way, though, right? Like, ooh, the Holy Spirit. What's up, dude? Don't worry, I won't call Ghostbusters, right? I joke, but I mean, that's the way we look at it. He's supposed to reside in us. Don't push him out. Don't close the door. Let him in. Let him in. He's called a gift for a reason. And you're going to keep on struggling until you open that door and you let him into your heart. Not to say you're not going to struggle afterwards, but the struggles are going to be different. Different. Because at that point, you're going to have hope. You're going to have love. You're going to know the warmth of his embrace. You know, Jesus here, he's talking. It's something that was known at that time. It was giving water, drinking water. It can be dangerous. Can be dangerous. You got people that go out there and they have these silly challenges online they have for years now, right? It's like, oh, go pound like 2 gallons of water real fast. What happens? They get sick. There's been recorded incidents where people have been impacted so bad that they've died, right? Drinking water, while it's good for you, done improperly, can hurt you. You go to somebody who's in shock. You're not supposed to give them water. But one of the first things that people do, oh, you're in an accident. Let me give you a bottle of water. No, I'm going to tell you right now, former medical professional, don't do it. There's a reason. Somebody's in shock. Somebody's hurt, right? You get somebody who's suffering from heat stroke. You give them that water. They start chugging it and chugging it. They're never going to quench that thirst. What's going to happen is it's going to do even more damage because that water is going to the body. The body's trying to distribute it and blood's being pulled away from those vital organs where it's needed most. They may not recover from that. You can drink and drink and drink. You can drink yourself to death on the water of the world. You're going to be thirsty like a diabetic. Sugars are out of whack. Keep chugging and chugging. But you go to the Lord, you go to Jesus Christ, one little sip, and you're good. Everlasting life. All your ailments will be healed. Not overnight. Not some miraculous thing where you're just going to wake up and everything is good to go. And be fit as a fiddle again? No. Where it tells us when we're called home, when we go to the kingdom, we will be renewed in a new body. With no pain. That's a good one right there. I don't know, last couple of weeks I was hurting. That tooth is screaming. But it happens. And that, you know, that's what's going to happen in this world. But ultimately we will be healed. We will have a place in eternity without any of those issues. No sickness, no pain, just healed. And to remember, Jesus is our great physician. He will look out for us. We need to go to him. It may not be the healing that we want in this world, but there will be healing. I promise you that. Now you think about it, when you really need medical help, you're hurt. You go to the emergency room or you call 911. Are you sitting there and you're barking at them, hey, you got to do this, you got to do that? Nope. I can tell you it never happens. There's a nurse for, 40-some-odd years sitting right there. 50? Yeah, before she retired, she could tell you, that doesn't happen. You get these people out there, oh, and I told them this, and I told them, no, you didn't. An emergency happens, you go to the medical professionals, you trust that they're going to do what's needed to be done, that they're going to do it right. That's called faith. You're surrendering yourself to their care, to their direction, right? They tell you to roll over, you roll over. They tell you to cough, you cough. They tell you to stop throwing up on them, you do your best and aim for a garbage can. But you're under their management, right? You're under new management. And I promise you all, we're going home pretty quick. When you are converted, right? When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, when you become a believer, you aren't just turning over a new leaf in life. You're beginning a new life under the leadership of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. You're not turning over a new leaf. This isn't a new chapter. This is a new life, a new book. We turn to Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7. Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7. I heard that. Yeah, 6-7. I heard it. No. Right there. I did not start that one, I promise you. It is everywhere. So Colossians 2, 6-7. The word says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk with him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. You see, becoming a Christian, new life, being born again, becoming a new creation, it doesn't start until we have fully surrendered ourselves. What's up, Marvin? Well, it's the way it took off. That song was around long before this term. That song, people just kind of tie to it. There's actually something entirely separate from that. But yeah. Oh yeah, now, there's a lot of stuff out there. We still have to be careful. But you know, we as Christians, we can still have some fun, right? So like I said, we could talk about that, but. The change doesn't start. You're not born again until you fully surrendered. As long as you're clinging to that past, as long as you have even a foothold and a toe holding that door open, it's not going to happen. Some things might start to change, right? It's like you're cold, you go to a door, you crack it open, a little bit of heat comes through, you kind of come up. You get a little bit, right? But do you get the full warmth? No, because what happens? That door can close again, right? You're shut out. Shut out. And it's no different. We have to fully surrender ourselves to Jesus. We have to fully acknowledge him as the Lord of our lives. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to misstep. It doesn't mean you're not going to mess up. We all mess up. We're human, right? Anybody in here perfect? I didn't think so. You. We got jokes today. I love it. But we have to acknowledge him. You know, he's a leader, not of just who we are, but what we do, what we're going to do. Life's messy. You're going to mess up. Ministry's messy. We mess up all the time. It happens, right? You are going to fall down. We all fall down. It's not about falling down. It's about getting back up. You're going to get knocked down. Proverbs 24 tells us exactly that. Proverbs 24, verse 16, the word says, "For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity." Get knocked down seven times, get back up eight. Get knocked down eight times, get up nine times. Get up, right? You get knocked down, you tell the world, keep trying, do your best. You're not going to keep me down. You can't keep good dog down. My Lord's going to keep picking me up. My Lord has a much heavier hand than you do. You're going to find that one day. Right now, he's reaching down. He's extending it to me, and he's helping me back up. Plain and simple. Jesus has a much heavier hand than the world is ever going to have. So take the hits. Don't shrug them off. Don't shrug them off. Don't laugh. Don't laugh at the world. It's also the other part of this. The wicked shall fall by calamity. You're going to get knocked down. You're going to get back up. When the world gets knocked down, don't laugh. Don't laugh. Because you know what? There's always an opportunity for us to introduce Jesus Christ to one more person. That time that they get knocked down might be the moment that changes their life and they come to know Jesus Christ. It's all in how you respond. When you have these incidents in your life, it's about what you learn from them. And then you listen to Jesus, you adapt, and you overcome. And the key is listening to Jesus. Psalm 119, verse 105, this is our last verse for the day. Psalm 119, verse 105. A lot of Bibles actually have this very beginning at the front of it. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Jesus will take care of you. Don't let the world have the last say. The world doesn't get the last say. Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ knows what's best for you. He's told you what you need to do and how you need to live. He's telling you where you need to go for good reason. The world is going to come at you. It's going to come at you with everything it has. It doesn't want you to have a relationship with Jesus. Period. It doesn't care that you pick up your Bible and you know it forward and backward. The devil knows the Bible forward and backward. He was there when it was written. Right? He was in heaven. He got to look face to face with God. He knows what the word says. So he doesn't care if you know what the word is. He cares if you apply it to your life and that you decide to follow Jesus, that you believe in Jesus. So he and his ministers are going to come at you with everything that they got to get you to change your mind and to turn away. But no matter how hard that hit, or just remember, Jesus is going to come back. And they're not going to get back up when Jesus comes and lays down that heavy hand. He knows what he's doing. He's not going to let harm in the sense of eternity befall you. He will look to his sheep. That's why we make the introduction to him one by one, right? The one that strayed from the 99. The church comes together, we're safe, but there's still those who are lost. Jesus is going after them. You want to do some, hey, this is Jesus. And then they make the decision if they're going to follow him or not. And he brings them back into the herd, right? Brings them to the flock. Plain and simple. And on that note, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for spending time with us. We thank you for taking your word into our hearts. We thank you for bringing your word into our lives. We ask that you, in addition to spending time with us, though, show us not only how to apply this stuff to our lives, but how we can apply it when we talk to those who are lost. How we can take it to the world and share that hope and that love that you have for everybody. Forgive us for those times that we failed to surrender. Forgive us for those times when we've misstepped. And help us to overcome all these hindrances. Let go of those chains that you've already broken so that you have full charge and full control over us and our lives. Mold us and mold our character into that which is Christ-like and not world-like. Help us to forgive those places we still need to forgive, whether it's others or ourselves. And help us to refocus that lens so we see things in the world the way you'd have us look at it, and not with hate, discontent. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, when you leave here today, you are loved and you are blessed, so go and be the church.
Thank you for joining us at Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. If this message spoke to you, or if you would like to help us reach more people, please like, review, and share our podcast. You can learn more about our ministry or how you can support us at www.thecross66.org. Until next time, take care and God bless.